Well, hey everyone, welcome to Crossroads Community Church online service today. It's the first of the year, so hopefully I'm one of the first people to say to you, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2023. We're excited about this year, about what God's doing in our church and what we're believing God's going to do through our church this year. We're excited about getting going. I think it's going to be a great year. In fact, that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today, to start us off well, to get this year going strong. In fact, one of the things that we wish to do this year is to really work through the year to continue growing and seeking after Jesus. In fact, next week on both of our campuses, we'll be live back in person, kicking off a brand new series called True North. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, it feels like life kind of veers off the course of where you intended or maybe where you thought it would be. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what it looks like to find our true north, to know where we're going, where God's leading us, where God's taking us, and to be able to get there with distinction, with direction, with confidence, and trusting God's leading. So we encourage you to come back next week. Join us in person if you can. It's going to be a great series, and I'm excited to get it started. Now, one of those things I want to let you know of, if you were part of our church this past year in 2022, we kicked off the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to do that again this year. We believe that God really speaks and moves when we truly clear things out of our way and just seek after Him. So I would encourage you to think this week. We're not going to start to fast until next week. So maybe start to think and maybe ask your friends, ask maybe a family member, or just trust God's leading. What's something that you can give up to spend more time with God? Something you can set to the side to spend more time with God. And I would encourage you to prepare your heart, prepare your mind for that, because I believe it's going to be a great way to start the year. Now, speaking of starting the year, how many of us are taking a New Year's resolution this year? I feel like that's a pretty common thing here in North America. We love to do them. And what's sad about it is we love to not finish them. Now, I don't know about you, but I've quit more New Year's resolutions than I care to admit. In fact, I was doing some study this week and found out most people end up quitting their New Year's resolutions by the end of January. It's kind of sad. When looking at some of the resolutions I heard last year, I wrote some down because I thought they were amazingly terrible. Some of the ones I think maybe I understand why people gave up. For example, there's this app you can put on your phone to help you move from a couch to running a 5K race, a 5-kilometer race in the course of 1 year. I heard someone say, we're going to go from couch to marathon, 26 miles in a year. I think that's crazy. I heard someone say that they were going to vow this whole year not to throw out any leftovers, that any food that they kept and put in the fridge, they would eat. I don't know about at your house, but at my house, sometimes that food in the fridge turns like a little blue glaze that didn't originate there before it's time to get rid of it. So maybe that works out for you better than me. I heard a good friend of mine say he was going to go to the gym 5 days a week. Mind you, this is a friend who hadn't been to the gym in years. Day two, that resolution ended because he couldn't walk up the stairs to get out of the basement. And another one I heard was to go viral on TikTok in the course of the year. I'm not sure even how to go about that. I don't know what to do there. My favorite one was someone said they were going to unfriend anyone who posted their political views on the social media platform they had. And within a week, that person who made the commitment was sharing their political views. You wouldn't believe how many people were commenting on that post. It was entertaining. And maybe my favorite one of all, I had a good friend say they were going to make a New Year's resolution to read all of the instructions and directions before assembling anything that they built or they bought and put together. I think that maybe is a little bit crazy, especially for some of us who are a little more stubborn along the way. Now, whatever the reason is, I think we could probably boil down the answer to the reason we are more and more reluctant for New Year's resolutions is we're just a little bit scared. We're a little bit fearful. Maybe we're fearful that the thing that we try to do, the effort, the energy, the money that we put into changing something doesn't produce the results we want, and we're kind of reluctant to start. Or maybe we're just a little bit worried that we're not going to complete it. And if I'm not going to complete it, why would I even start it? And I think sometimes that rolls over into our faith growth. I think sometimes that rolls over into how we approach living on purpose to grow in our relationship with Jesus. I made this statement a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and at the time I hadn't really thought about it, but I've chewed on it a lot since then. The church is the only collection of people that celebrates the fact that we are in progress. We haven't arrived. Not a single one of us has arrived at the destination that we are planning for our future. I mean, for starters, our destination is heaven. It's an address on the streets of gold with our Heavenly Father in heaven. But along the way, we are imperfect people trying to do the will of our Father. And our goal as Christians is never to be perfect or to act like we're perfect or to act like we've got it all together. Our goal as Christ followers is simply to be more like Jesus. Now, it doesn't really fit the North American idea of goal, that I set out something that I can accomplish and I chase after it, but rather that I want to continue to be more like Jesus. That's not something I can always quantify. That's not something that I can always put a flow chart or a little thermometer chart where the temperature rises as I get closer to Christ. But the reality is it's the instruction of our God to be more like Christ. And that's our goal for 2023. For me, every year, God gives me a word or a phrase to kind of make that the theme of what the year that God, I believe God's going to do through me or in me with what's going on. For 2022, God really gave me this word of we were going to do a lot to heal and to be restored and bring restoration to so many relationships and so many things that God had worked through in the year of 2022. And for 23, God's given me this word of we're going to grow. And I don't mean like growing like, hey, we're going to get a lot of people to do a lot of things. But I mean like grow closer to Christ. Grow in our walk, in our faith, in our journey with Jesus, that we are more like him. And that's my prayer for our church, is we can each take steps, big steps, small steps, messy steps, to be more and more like Christ. I read this statistic decades ago, and then it just came across my newsfeed just a few weeks ago. The statistic was that 85% of people that come to put their faith in Jesus find him, receive him, and maybe even get baptized, and then don't take another faith step of growth in their lifetime. That kind of breaks my heart. Like, God gives us this incredible book of instruction, and he gives us all of the steps we need to take to continue to become more like Christ. And for so many followers, so many people that have stamped their book, their passport, on my way to heaven, but not to take any more steps to become more like Christ. You know, Jesus gives us this instruction before he left planet Earth. He gives us this mission, this co-mission to be partners with him. And he says to go on to make disciples of all the nations. He didn't say go on to make converts. He didn't say go on to make one-time decision makers. He says go and make disciples. We've done a lot of work to kind of understand, unpack the context of what disciple is in the New Testament and the scriptures. We believe a disciple is a believer who actively follows Jesus and his teachings in pursuit of living like him and helping others to know him. Now, that's not something that we just obtain. That's something we continue to improve at. It looks different than a New Year's resolution. It looks different than just trying to set a goal of losing 20 pounds by the end of the year, or visiting 3 states sometime this summer, or reading 6 books in the course of the next 6 months. The goal of the Christ follower is just to be more like Jesus. The prayer of the Christ follower, God, help me to be more like Jesus today. And the more that I can be like Christ, the more that I can model my life after how he lived, the more that I can trust the way that Jesus did, the more kingdom impact that I'm going to make in the course of my days here. So my challenge to our church, my challenge to us is this kind of a question for the year. If a year from now, if January 1st, 2024, you are able to look back and reflect on the course of this year, and you have been diligent and disciplined about growing in your faith and taking steps with Jesus, what's different about life? What's different 12 months from now if you have been pursuing Jesus like never before? What's different about your marriage if you've been doing good in your marriage, but more importantly, you've been pursuing Christ, and the overflow of that pursuit of Jesus has impacted your marriage? What's different about your relationship with your kids? Instead of just trying to improve it on your own power, seeking Jesus, following his lead, letting him work within you, and see how much different your relationship is with your kids, with your friendships, with your coworkers. What about the freedoms that we walk in because of Jesus' sacrifice for us? If we could forgive more like Jesus and talk to God more like Jesus and be generous and be giving more like he was and be humble and confident at the same time like Jesus was, if we could become more like Jesus this year, man, 12 months from now, think of where we will be. You see, at Crossroads, we believe God has given us a specific mission statement: to meet people where they are and to help them take their next step with Christ. But we believe that everybody on this planet has a next step with Jesus. That may be a step closer to Jesus and receiving him as Lord and Savior. That may be a step in getting baptized and going public with your faith. That may be a step in becoming a mentor and helping someone else who's just starting in their journey to become more discipled in Christ. That may be signing up for someone to mentor you and to help guide you and lead you in your journey with Jesus. It may be joining a small group. It may be sharing your faith with someone who doesn't know him. It may be serving on a team on a Sunday morning. It may be being more generous in how we act with our time or our finances. It may be reading a book. It may be investing a weekend with your kiddo at dad camp. There are so many steps that each of us can take in the course of this year to grow, to become more like Christ. What a year of growth we believe 2023 is going to be. And my prayer is that every single person at Crossroads Community Church can identify, here's where I am, and here's the next step that God is working on with me, in me, and for me. Here's the thing that God is asking me to do, and here's the step that I plan to take, that I'm initiating to take, that God can work in me, and that God will continue to work in me, and that we all continue to grow together. So I just want to give you a couple thoughts to get this year started. A couple things that maybe change a perspective or shift an attitude that we have in our mind that this year really can be a year of growth for each of us. Three thoughts. Number one, the first one is this, that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Now, we love to take some context of the Bible and maybe add our own little flavor to it and then kind of come up with our own conclusion. Now, this is a little bit of a controversial statement, so after I say it, maybe you want to pause the video and chew on this for a minute. But I believe that the devil's okay with us knowing a little bit of the Bible. Because we've heard people say things like, doesn't the Bible say somewhere, and then they say something that's kind of true, but also kind of meets their own agenda, like, doesn't the Bible say that God will never give you more than you can handle? Yeah, but that's not all it says. In context, the Bible says God will never give you more than you can handle without providing you a way out. It's not to take a fluffy version of following Jesus. It's the full context of understanding. Often God will allow us more than we can handle if it's what drives us to go and to seek him deeper. Sometimes we understand God is loving and God is all loving and God loves you just the way you are, and he does. But that's not the entirety of the truth of the new covenant with Jesus. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loves me too much to leave me in my brokenness, to leave me in my sin, to leave me in my poor attitude. And he wishes the best for me. Sometimes we have this attitude of God as this heavenly father who looks down waiting to scold us. In reality, God wants what's best for us. And he, more than any other being, knows that while we may enjoy this, we may like this, this may be comfortable for us, it may not be what's best for us. And God wants what's best for us. We are all imperfect humans. Left to our own desires, we will always default to selfish. We are sinners by nature, and God wants what's best for us. God loves us right where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. God wants to see what's best for us played out in front of us. So this attitude that we must have is that God is our author. God is our designer. He is our architect. I love the prophet Isaiah back in the Old Testament. He describes our relationship with God like this. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, he says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." Now, we understand that God created us, that God formed us in our mother's womb, that God put us together, but the job didn't end at childbirth, that God is continuing to mold us and to form us and to shape us and to mold us and to form us and to shape us. Christian folks, sometimes we get caught up in this idea that we can compartmentalize our life. Like, God, I can trust you with my health. I can trust you with my time on Sunday mornings, but I'm going to handle my own stuff when it comes to my money and my giving. I'm going to handle my own stuff when it comes to forgiveness. God, you can forgive me of my sin, but I'm going to have some revenge, thus saith myself, when it comes to how someone else has wronged me. You know, I think it's maybe a better understanding of knowing that God is continually trying to mold us to be more like Christ, that God has more in store for us, and until we are shaped more like Jesus, we'll never realize that, that God is working toward building us and molding us and shaping us. It's not an insult to where we are and who we are. It's a remarkable statement of the goodness of our God, that he loves us so much, he wants to continue to provide and grow and inspire and mold us into the person he created us to be. Number two, the first thing I need to change if I'm going to grow is my attitude. Now that seems pretty harsh, Pastor. It's a good thing we're online today, so you can't throw anything at me. The biggest enemy of growth is our attitude. I mean, we live in a time and a place where we've got information, we've got tools, we've got all the things we need. We've got every resource we could possibly imagine, and yet some of us fall into that category of never taking another growth step. Can I just encourage you that it might be the very thing keeping you from it is our attitude. Maybe there's nothing that you can teach me, Pastor. I've read through the Bible and I've gained nothing new information. Maybe there's no thing out there or no person that can really help me. That's a poor attitude. We can learn from the simplest of concepts. Maybe your answer is a little more simple. I just don't have time to learn this year. I'm so busy being a dad, being an employee, being a business owner. Maybe we just don't have time for that. Can I just encourage you that we have time for whatever we want to have time for? If you want to go watch the movie that just came out this past week, you're going to reprioritize your week that you can get things done in time that you can go to the movie. If you want to go watch your kid's sporting event, you're going to reprioritize your day that you can leave a little bit early and make it to their game. We make time for what we want to make time for. And it might not be that we're too busy to learn, we just haven't prioritized it because our attitude is not quite what it ought to be. There are so many parts of this journey with Jesus that only God can do. And I don't want to try to take credit for anything that God wants to do in us because only God can do that. But the thing that we have control over, the one thing maybe we could say we have control over whether or not we're going to grow because of this, is our attitude. Are you hungry to grow? Are you excited and passionate about learning? Are you humble enough to learn from the voices and the resources that God puts in front of you? Am I willing to use the things that God has already brought into my life, the people that God has already brought, the leaders that God has already brought, the peers, the church, the small group members that God has already placed in, around, or near me and provided for me? What's your attitude on the Bible? Am I willing to study the word, not just to read it, not just to check the box if I read my Bible for the day, but to study it, to understand it better? What's my attitude on serving? What's my attitude on giving? What's my attitude on engaging on a weekend service? I'll go to church on Sunday mornings when I can, when there's nothing else going on. Or do I prioritize it? And I set the example for my kids of what it looks like to prioritize faith growth. I think way too often we anticipate that God is going to grow me in the quick fix model of what our world is right now. We want everything right now. I want what I want, and I want it right now. And oftentimes we miss the fact that God isn't just about the short game. God is also about the long game. That sometimes God brings in the right people and the right tools and the right environments and the right resources for an immediate encounter, awesome, spectacular spike in growth. But more often than not, it's the small, simple steps. And if our attitude's not right, we miss so much growth potential from those small, simple steps. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, there's this story where God raises up Moses, who's incredible backstory of what he is. And God raises up Moses to go and to speak to the Pharaoh to release the Israelites, God's people who've been taken into captivity and slavery. And there's this really cool timeline between where God first speaks to Moses through a bush that's being burned but not consumed. And the voice of the Lord speaks to Moses, and he hears God's voice, and he's given the instruction of what's about to go down before Moses goes to the Pharaoh and the plagues and the walk and the parting of the sea happens. And there's this little nugget that happens in there that I think so many people miss. There's this conversation where God is speaking to Moses, and before he goes to Pharaoh, he instructs him to go and speak to the Israelite leaders. And Moses pushes back right away. He argues with God. He's got a bad attitude. He says things like, they're not going to listen to me. Why would they believe me? What do I have to offer or have to say? I haven't been in a relationship with them. They don't know me. They don't trust me. And he has this bad attitude about God speaking to him to instruct him to do something. He just doesn't want to do it. He doesn't think it's going to work. He doesn't think it's going to be effective. Exodus chapter 4, this conversation continues. Then the Lord asked Moses, what's in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. God says, so throw it on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. What a crazy story, right? That Moses was holding a stick of wood, turned into a snake, picked it back up, back into a stick of wood. So God tells Moses, take this and show that to the leaders, and they will know that you and I have talked. And they will know that I have appeared to you. And they will know that what you tell them is true. So church, let me ask you today, what's in your hand? Well, you might be like, well, I'm watching this on my cell phone. So there's a cell phone, an iPad in my hand. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking like, what is it that God has already given you that we might be overlooking? What is it that God has already resourced you with, that God has handed to you, and we're not thinking of it as a way for God to grow? I mean, you know that you may have a resource. You may have a Bible study sitting on your shelf you've never picked up and used. I mean, there are on average 5 Bibles in an American household. We got a Bible right in our hand, and yet we never open it up to use it. What was the last time where we had an opportunity, we made an opportunity in the course of the 24 hours of our day to press in and lean into God's presence and to spend some time just in prayer? Maybe there's a group of people that have been asking you to join a study with them or join a community with them where you can grow in your faith, and you've been kind of resistant to say, it's not really for me, it's not really my time, I don't have the spare evening for it. What's in your hand? What's available to you? What do you have that God can use to make an incredible, impactful difference? It might be that our growth in 2023 isn't fueled by these huge, significant milestone steps. It may be taking small, simple steps toward God. That's number 3. Don't underestimate the power of a small step. I think we would all agree big steps are fun. Big, long leaps are the best. That weekend retreat, that moment, that camp experience, those are so much fun. We celebrate them. Other people can see the growth. It's so spectacular. But oftentimes, I think because we land on the power of the big step, we overlook the significance of the small step. Katie and I have been married for 21 years now. four kids in the mix, six of us in our family. As you can imagine, we don't get to eat out very often because it's expensive. Katie is an incredible chef. She cooks the most incredible meals. I'm a very picky eater. She does a great job. I mean, don't get me wrong. I fix a mean bowl of cereal. I can stir up some mac and cheese like nobody's business. And occasionally in the summertime, I will grill up some fire burgers. But other than that, Katie does most of the cooking. And she does an incredible job. Now, if you were to ask me over the last 21 years to list all of the meals Katie's fixed, I probably couldn't name very many of them. I definitely couldn't name a special day on a special night where she made this one thing and it was amazing. But day after day, for about 21 years, Katie has fixed meals that have sustained me and strengthened me and filled me up to give me the power and the things that I needed to continue about my day. The author of Hebrews gives us some really powerful instruction, Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance. That's a big word. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That word endurance sometimes gets skipped right over. That word endurance is powerful because sometimes we get a word from the Lord and we're just excited to get started. We want to take off as fast as we can go. Don't look at anything else. Don't look past anything else. Don't think of anything else. Just run. Church, I want us to recognize the fact that sometimes God calls us to sprint, but most time God calls us to run the race with endurance. That word endurance in the Greek, it translates to endurant or endurance, to be patient, to have consistency, and to have perseverance. This journey with Jesus is not often going to be a sprint. It's going to be small steps. It's going to be small, tangible, powerful steps. It's going to be steps that sometimes seem large and sometimes it seems so small. Don't discount a small step. Every step in the race is important. Every step in the race is valuable. I want to encourage you with this, that there are steps that you can take, big and small, in the course of this year, and every step matters. When I was in college, the university I went to hosted an outdoor music festival at the beginning of the summer every year. And one year I got to be one of the security guards there, and I got to bring some friends in, and we had a good time. And a group of friends came with us this one time, and a couple of them came late. A boyfriend, girlfriend came a day early. So the first day of the event, we're all out there having a good time. And the first day there, he got a really bad sunburn on his back. Sorry, dude. The second day there, his girlfriend twisted her ankle, like pretty late in the day. So we're trying to debate, like, do we go get the medical people to come over and give her a ride? Now, we're good. I'm a big, strong guy. I can give her a piggyback all the way to the parking lot on the other end of the venue. Only to find out that once we started this journey, they let me know we didn't park in the parking lot. We parked at the hotel 2.5 miles away. So then, like, this pride thing kicked in, like, no, I'm strong enough that I can carry her the whole way. And we started this journey. Can I tell you that I couldn't see the hotel when we started? So instead of focusing on where the end was, I just focused on the direction that I was headed. And I took one step at a time. Some steps were smooth. Some steps I stumbled a little bit. Some steps were big. Other steps were more of a shuffle. I didn't know how many more steps I needed. I didn't know how many more steps it took. I knew that if I was going in the right direction, I was helping to alleviate pain that she might have to experience. But some of the steps were just plain messy. Can I just encourage you today? Our end goal is heaven. We know that. That's where we're going to spend eternity. But in our time on this planet, God is molding us to be more like Jesus. We may not know how many steps that is. We may not know how much farther we have to go. But if we know the right direction that we're going in, every step matters. In fact, I would argue this. The size of the step matters way less than the direction of your step. Church, we have some growth to do. And that's not, oh, come on, get it together. This isn't an Eeyore moment of, oh, man, we got some growing to do. This is God loves you so much that he continues to invest in you. I had a basketball coach tell me one time, when coach stops talking to you, that's when he's done. He's given up on you. Our God wants to invest in us. Our God wants to grow us into the person he created us to be. We run that race with endurance, with patience, with perseverance. We run that race chasing after Jesus, yielding ourselves. God, here I am. Mold me, shape me, build me, redirect me, encourage me, love me, and grow me. That's a life fully submitted to God, to his will, to his plans, to his purpose. Church, let's go and let's see where this year grows. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for a word that encourages us to have endurance, to become more like Christ. God, in a time where that wants to have more of our attention, that wants to take more of our time, more of our energy, God, remind us what it looks like to be centered upon Jesus. That our life's pursuit is not wealth, it's not fame, it's not fortune, it's to become more like Jesus. So God, let our prayer of this year be, God, today make me more like Christ. God, as we go through our days, we go through our week, as we go through this entire year, prompt us, nudge us, move us, correct us, that we might look, act, talk, love, forgive more like Jesus than ever before. It's in Jesus' name.